Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lord, and I'm your host today. And my guest today is Rod Jackson. Welcome, Rod.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Now, Rod, you live in Grafton now.
I do.
And you are the tour of River and Routes. You're the tour guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. How long have you been doing that?
Since I retired from teaching.
Okay. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. So where'd you grow up?
All right. I grew up on a farm between Jerseyville and Grafton. Went to Jerseyville schools, first grade through 12th grade.
Yeah.
Graduated from JCHS, attended Illinois College in Jacksonville, where I graduated with my bachelor's degree. And then I went to SIUE for my master's degree.
Yes. And then on into teaching?
Yes, I started teaching at Northwestern in Palmyra, and I taught there for 33 years.
You start there and finish there?
I did.
No jumping around. What were you teaching?
I taught sixth grade for the first 2 years, and then fifth grade for the remainder of my career.
Just like all the subjects?
All the subjects, yes. History being my favorite, you'll find out today.
Yeah, cool. I taught some school as well.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think I taught 7 years total. Taught and coached for about 7 years.
I enjoyed it. I loved it. And, you know, I was just going to start at Northwestern and kind of get my feet wet and then move to a higher paying district. But I fell in love with the community and the people, and I stayed for the duration.
Well, teaching, you know what Benjamin Franklin had on his tombstone, don't you?
Tell me.
Teacher. Mm. You know, so you're always, once a teacher, always a teacher. We're always teaching.
I've heard that. And as a teacher, I love to learn.
So you grew up, now you're married with children.
I am. I'm married to Cindy. My wife's name is Cindy.
Yes.
We have three children. Sarah, she's married to Adam Snyder. He's a pediatric dentist. And then we have twin sons, Brennan and Brandon.
Brennan and Brandon.
Brennan is an occupational therapist at McKnight Place in St. Louis. And Brandon is a correctional officer at the boys' prison in Grafton.
How was it raising twin boys?
Well,
were they always into mischief?
They even spoke their own language to each other. We couldn't understand them. So, yeah, we had the deck stacked against us from day one.
Yes. I was a twin myself. So
I know that.
I had a twin sister.
Yes.
And, that's fun. I think that's cool being a twin.
I always say it was the greatest adventure of our lives. And, you know, the boys were never without a best friend, you know. Yeah.
So you got out of teaching. And then you moved to Grafton?
We always lived around Grafton.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then somehow you ended up being the tour guide for River and Routes. How'd that happen?
Corey Jobe, the CEO of Great Rivers, invited me to attend a meeting at Grafton Visitor Center. So I went down to the meeting, and he asked me to stay afterwards, and he asked me if I'd be interested in being a tour guide. And I didn't know, you know, if that was my thing or not. I taught children for 33 years, but I didn't know about...
Why did he pick on you for that?
I think people in town had told him that I was a historian.
Kind of an historian. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you talk about Grafton, so you knew you know Grafton inside out and backwards, right?
Pretty much.
Yes. And before we started the interview, we were talking about, you know, Grafton had a lot of things going on in it back in the day. Right.
It was a kind of a rough little river town. A lot of fun, but
yeah. I mean, the turning point for Grafton for what it is today was the '93 flood.
Absolutely.
'93 flood happened, and then just kind of reorganized, and
it did. At one time, Grafton had more than 10,000 people, and now we're down to about 600.
10,000.
10,000 at one time, and now our population is around 600, but it grows to 10,000 on the weekends, you know, during the tourist season.
Now, they have 10,000 people in Grafton?
Because of the industries that were there, which we'll talk about.
Where were the homes at? I mean, where do they live?
Every place that you see green space now, you know, there were homes.
Just homes along the river?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay. Now, we'll talk about a few things that went on in Grafton back in the day. Fishing. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of fishing going on.
Absolutely. Fishing was the number one industry from the very beginning. And old timers tell me because Grafton is at the confluence of the Illinois and Mississippi rivers, that turbulence kind of keeps the fish stirred up. And so, fishing was the number one industry.
When they were fishing, what kind of fish were they catching?
Grafton is the catfish capital. You know?
Okay.
So a lot of catfish, but bass and carp and buffalo. And
how would they, if they're commercially, how would they catch the fish? would they be using nets? Or are they using like multiple? Do you know that?
Multiple. I know that. And Grafton was the number one fishing port along the entire length of the Mississippi River. I mean, no matter how far north or south you go, Grafton was the number one fishing port. As a matter of fact, if you are at the Grafton Marina or the Oyster Bar, and if you look just to the east, that low-lying area, that was a freshwater pond. And so the fishermen would go out and they would catch their daily catch of fish and live turtles, and they would release them in that pond until a steamboat would come to Grafton where they would re-catch them and then ship them to points elsewhere.
I see.
And the Schaefer's Wharf, the pier is still there, and it reached 200 feet out into the river, and it was 40 feet across. And you can still see the remains if you go to the marina.
I see. And then the loading dock, where everybody, you know, a big place to go. Everybody likes going to the loading dock. What was the loading dock back in the day?
The loading dock, actually, the building was the historic Grafton Boat Works. And we're very proud we did get that on the National Register within that within the last couple of years. At the historic Grafton Boat Works, they built over 1,200 lifeboats that were used in World War II. And over 1,500 lifeboats that were used for the Vietnam War. And even the fireboat that is still in use in New York City Harbor was made here in Grafton.
I'll be darned. Yeah. Well, that's a big place. I mean, that
employed a lot of people.
Did it?
And now, you know, we don't build boats, but during tour season, once a month, we have a flea market with a couple hundred vendors.
Oh, yeah.
And then this time of year, we have the indoor ice skating rink.
Now, with that ice skating rink, how do they put that together?
They have a company that comes in and assembles it, and they kind of flood it more or less, and then they have coils, you know, that freeze the
keep
ice.
And is that becoming pretty popular?
The kids love it, and the loading dock is so good about, you know, anytime they're, you know, when they're the ice skating rink is set up, if it's a school holiday, then they are open. The ice skating rink is open.
Gotcha. And they had some quarries going on.
Yes. So fishing being the number one industry, but quarries being the number two industry in Grafton. There were five active quarries at one time. The largest one, if you're coming into Grafton from Alton, on the right, just past the visitor center, where you see what we call the Flat Rock, that was our largest quarry.
Where they're going to put the monuments? The
yes,
national
exactly.
Monument, right
exactly
there?
Where they're putting the monuments. Grafton, as a matter of fact, is in Quarry Township.
And quarry limestone, right?
Right, right. And because Grafton had five active quarries, and the reason we had five active quarries is because Grafton limestone was superior to other limestone. The Grafton limestone was used to build the Eads Bridge that takes you from Illinois to St. Louis, Missouri. It was used to build the government building in Rock Island. It was used to build the Presbyterian Church here in Jerseyville, the courthouse here in Jerseyville. The reason being, Grafton limestone had a high content of magnesium, and magnesium makes it stronger. You know, a lot of stones will flake or you know, chip away, especially when they're in a fireplace wall or something like that. But Grafton limestone was strong, very heavy.
The base
superior.
The basement, the foundation walls of my house are Grafton limestone.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty hot commodity around Grafton. If there's a barn that is torn down or something and there's a limestone foundation, people are after those stones.
Yes.
To use in landscaping for benches and that sort of thing.
And yeah, and sometimes even repairs, you know, on
sure.
on limestone or on foundations.
Sure.
So, now, another thing that was going on, you had the powder mill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, where was that at?
Where you have five limestone quarries, active limestone quarries, you have to have a powder mill. So where Raging Rivers Water Park is located, that's where the powder mill was located. And they not only used the explosives for the quarries, but also for the military.
And they would make the explosives there at this powder
that's
mill.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when did that close down? Many years ago?
I'm not sure about the powder mill.
Okay. And then the other thing was the two things that worked together, Musseling and the Button Factory.
Absolutely. So on any given day, there would be 2,200 boats out on the river fishing. And some of those were Musseling, where the divers would dig down, would dive down to the bottom of the river and dig in the mud and the muck and find mussel shells and bring them to the surface. And they would sell them to the local Button Factory. The Button Factory was located right across from where the Grafton Winery is located today. And of course, it kind of worked like if you think about a three-hole paper punch in an office, you know, they would punch out those mother-of-pearl buttons. As a matter of fact, still to this day, if you go walking along the riverfront in that area after a flood, after the floodwaters recede, you can find some of those mussel shells with perfect holes where they've punched out the buttons.
I'll be darned. So do people still die for mussel shells today?
Not so much. You know, with the invention of plastic, making buttons out of mussel shells went out of practice,
yes,
unfortunately. But I will just kind of throw in here, this is kind of an interesting little tidbit. Upriver from us, you know, some of those mussel shells have pearls in them. And upriver from us, I believe it's in Pike County, there's a town that so many of the mussel shells had pearls that they actually named the town Pearl.
Right, yes. And I'm not for sure when it was, but maybe it was in the 80s I was telling you about. There was groups of young guys that would go diving for mussels in, I just know, in the Calhoun area. They
sure,
would.
Right.
And they would get these mussel shells, and they were selling these mussel shells to some place that were making, they would make pearls. They had it set up where they would put those little chips of the shell inside of a clam, you know, and it would create a pearl. So
interesting.
Yeah, they were selling that, and I don't know what happened to that market, but
it was something else they did with the mussel shells. Once they punched the buttons out, you know, you have the still part of the mussel shell there. So they would sell it to companies that made chicken feed because those mussel shells had a lot high content of calcium.
Yes.
And of course, the more calcium a chicken eats, the harder the egg shell, and therefore they could be transported more easily without breakage.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Rod Jackson with me. He's a tour guide for Great Rivers and Routes and lives in Grafton. Oh, lived in Grafton for many years. And we're going over some of the history of Grafton. And tell us about you as a tour guide. Now, you said there's basically two types of tours.
Right. I work for Great Rivers and Routes, and there are actually two venues. And so I'll talk about the international venue first. We literally bring in, when I say we, Great Rivers and Routes bring in tourists from all over the world. Just last season, I had tourists that came to me from Wales and England and France and all over Asia and even New Zealand and Australia. And so they come to New Orleans, and they come, and that's where they board the cruise ship. And there are two Great Rivers and Routes contracts with two different cruise ship companies. American Cruise Lines is one, and the Viking cruise ship is the other.
Okay.
And last season was our first season to have the Viking join the group. So the tourists get on a cruise ship. They're in New Orleans, and they come up the Mississippi River, and they stop in a lot of the quaint river towns, you know, Hannibal. The American Cruise Lines likes to dock in Alton at the marina, and the Viking likes to dock in St. Louis at the Arch.
And they stay on the boat the whole time. The tourists do.
Well, no, they do not. So what happens is once the cruise ship gets to one of those two docks, either Alta Marina or at the Arch, each cruise line has a fleet of coaches, really nice. We would call them buses, but they're coaches. And so the tourists, they get off the cruise ship and they get on the coach and join me. And that's when I bring them up the Great River Road past Elsa, Chautauqua into Grafton.
I know, but what I was getting at is they have quarters on
the
river.
Yes,
they're
yes.
staying
I'm
on
sorry.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a boat you take out in the ocean, you know, like a river, a cruise,
right.
cruise ship, except it's cruising on the river. Mm-hmm. And then they come off for little adventures.
Okay. Right.
And so,
little side trips. And
that's pretty amazing that they're coming all the way down the river.
And they love Grafton. I mean, think about it. You know, when you come down up the river road, you know, you have the mighty Mississippi on one side and the towering limestone bluffs on the other. You know, it's a beautiful ride. And they're very, very interested in the history of Grafton. And so we talk about the five industries that brought people to Grafton in the first place because they're also interested in flooding, you know, flooding when you live along the river or in Grafton, because Grafton is at the confluence of the Illinois-Mississippi rivers, flooding is an issue.
Oh, yeah.
And so their question is, if flooding is an issue, why do people live here?
Yeah, well, why do they live there?
So once I talked about the five industries, you know, you live where you work. And that's what brought people to Grafton in the first place. My two favorite stories when I talk about the history of Grafton, we mentioned about the five limestone quarries.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have had five limestone quarries in Grafton, we needed men to work in those quarries. So we imported over 2,000 German and Irish immigrants. Well, with over 2,000 German and Irish immigrants working in the quarries, evidently working in quarries made you thirsty, because at that time Grafton had over 26 saloons on Main Street. And because they were all from Germany or Ireland, they knew that they wanted to build a Catholic church. The problem was, where do they build that Catholic church? Of course, the Germans wanted it built in their end of Grafton, which is near where the Ball Diamond is now located. Uh-huh. The Irish wanted it built in their end of Grafton, which is closer to the loading dock. But you know what they did? They did something that we've kind of lost in this country. They compromised. They built the Catholic church in the German part of Grafton, but they named it St. Patrick's.
There you go.
Please, the Irish. Did. So everybody's happy. And, yes, you know, they knew that the labor would be free because all 2,000 of them worked in the quarries. And they knew that the limestone itself would be free, especially if you haul it in after midnight. So it was a win-win.
Yes, that is pretty cool. I didn't realize there were 2,000 immigrants.
Over 2,000 German and Irish immigrants. Something else that's kind of interesting is that, I need to throw this in while we're talking about the German end of Grafton. Grafton was founded in 1836 by James Mason, and most people probably have heard of Mason Hollow. If you turn on Springfield Street, that is Mason Hollow. James Mason founded Grafton. He had a ferry, he had a mill, he had a mercantile, and he built 6 log cabins. Unfortunately, he passed away before he was able to plat the town. So his widow and his brother got together, and they decided to name the town after his birthplace of Grafton, New Hampshire. Now, if you look in the history books or online, it's going to say he was born in Grafton, Massachusetts. But Grafton, Illinois was named after Grafton, New Hampshire.
I see.
And when you turn on Springfield Street, that little stone cottage, that was where Paris Mason, James Mason's brother, lived.
I see. Now, you said there were two types of tours you do. So
right.
That's international tour. What's the other tour?
Okay. So before I talk about the local tour, may I talk about one other historical story that tourists like to hear?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So if you are leaving Grafton going toward Pere Marquette State Park, you'll notice what we locals call Boys Town, which mm-hmm. is the boys' prison. That used to be a dairy farm.
Yep.
Owned by Mr. Ferguson. And so prior to Nazi Germany, Mr. Ferguson went to the Isle of Jersey off the coast of France, and he bought 12 cows and one bull, and he brought it to that dairy farm. Well, we'll fast forward a little bit. During Hitler's reign of Nazi Germany, you know, it's kind of common practice that when the soldiers come across your property, they ravage your orchards, your gardens, and they slaughter all your livestock. So every single Jersey cow on the Isle of Jersey was killed, was slaughtered. And so the whole world mourned that loss, because it is true that Jersey cows do give the best milk. They have Jersey milk has a higher level of milk fat, so it makes better cream cheese and ice cream, you know, all that stuff that we loved. So anyway, while the entire world is mourning the loss of the Jersey cow, someone was going through a file in an office there in the Isle of Jersey, and they found a sales receipt where the 12 cows and one bull were sold to a Mr. Ferguson from Grafton, Illinois. So they said, let's look into it and see if there's any remaining bloodline on that dairy farm. So lo and behold, when they got to Grafton, Mr. Ferguson's herd of 12 cows and one bull had grown to over 2,000 dairy cattle. So seriously, thanks to Mr. Ferguson of Grafton, Illinois, the Jersey cow is not extinct.
Yes, sustained.
Yeah, isn't that a cool story?
Okay, well, we got a few minutes left.
Okay, so I need to talk about the local.
Yeah, talk about the local.
Okay, so, and this is something that our listeners would be interested in. So this is something that Great Rivers and Routes offers in the fall. Every Thursday and Friday in October, and the first two Thursdays and Fridays in November, you can get online and order your ticket, and there will be an article in the paper that talks about that. But we meet under the Sky Tour that takes you up to Aries, and we board a shuttle, and then we go around Grafton, and I talk about the historic sites and that sort of thing. And because it's called the Fall Color and History Tour, we go up to Pere Marquette, up to the Eagle's Roost lookout at the top of the park, and take pictures of the fall foliage and that sort of thing. And then we come back through Grafton, we go to Elsa, and we park, and then we do a walking tour, and I talk about the history of the various buildings in Elsa and about the history of Elsa itself. And then we go get back on the shuttle, and we go up to Principia College, the only Christian Science college in the world, is located here in Jersey County.
Wow.
And when we are in the Principia campus, we go into 3 buildings. I'll mention them really fast. So the first one is the science building that houses the skeletal remains of the woolly mammoth that was found there.
Yes.
The second building is a dormitory, which is very Harry Potter-ish. It was built in the 1930s, so you feel like you're in the Cotswolds.
Uh-huh.
And then the third building is the chapel, which is located right on the bluff, edge of the bluff, where you can look out over the mighty Mississippi and the Missouri River bottom.
Great. Now, again, how would people get signed up for this?
So it will be in the Jerseyville paper. There will be an article about Great Rivers and Routes offering the Fall Color and History Tour. And if you're a Facebook friend, you know, I advertise it a lot. And if you're not a Facebook friend, friend me. And you'll see when it gets closer to fall, I will have it on there.
Well, thank you, Rod Jackson, the tour guide from Graft for Rivers and Routes, and knows all about Grafton. So thanks for coming in, Rod.
You're very welcome.
And have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you.